Unencumbered by political correctness, undeterred in her mission to spread the truth, unafraid to be a true conservative, she's unapologetic, uncompromising, unwavering, and an undeniably powerful voice when we need it most. This is Rose Unplugged.
You know, Mike Lindell is always looking for ways to solve everyday problems. What's one of the problems that we have every day? Towels that don't absorb. I hate that. They look really pretty in the store. They cost a lot of money. And guess what? They just don't dry you off very well. Not the case with MyPillow towels. How do I know this? Because I use them. They stay as fluffy as the first day I bought them, and they are very absorbent. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio podcast specials, enter promo code ROSE. MyPillow.com, promo code ROSE. I promise you, you will not be sorry. You'll be dry. Welcome to this episode of Rose Unplugged. And joining me today is a guy that I've met on several occasions. I just really like him. He's awesome. He supports families. He supports Moms for America. That's one of the main reasons I adore him. He really cares about America and America's future. So please welcome to the show, founder and CEO at Freedom Square, secretary, treasurer, and board director at Turning Point USA. That's impressive. And he's so involved in so many other things, and I appreciate that about him, and that is Tom Sudeika.
Oh, Rose, thank you. And it's great to be with you.
Thank you. Same here. And also joining us today is Eric Ohausen, and he is the chief strategy officer, president, and co-founder of Old Glory Bank. You all have heard about this. I see them everywhere when I go to conservative events. He has a finance and banking background. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Well, thank you. Thank you. So glad to be here today.
There's so many things I want to talk to you all about. Should we start with Freedom Square? Just because that's how I mostly know you, Tom. Tell me a little bit about Freedom Square, your involvement there. And it's just such a great platform for conservatives and people that love the Republic.
Yeah, Rose, thank you. Yeah, Freedom Square came about 2 years ago, and we launched April of 23 to provide a source for folks who are pro-American. And when we say pro-American, we're talking about, you know, not Republican or Democrat, but people who, you know, trust in faith. It doesn't matter what religion, but it's faith. You could even be a big fan of natural law, because natural law plays into so much of our
freedom,
of our belief systems, but family and freedom. Exactly. And, you know, there's no doubt that in life's experience, the human soul craves freedom and liberty. So that is what we decided to do, is create a resource for people. They go to freedomsquare.com or download the app. We give them news from about 24 different news sites that we found to be, you know, very good in reporting, and they don't hold back on or push narratives. The facts are the facts. If a Republican screws up, then they're called to the carpet. If a Democrat screws up, that's every day, but they're called to the carpet. And you get the facts of what's going on, versus when you tune into the mainstream media, my God, I mean, narrative after narrative just gets shoved down our throats. And unfortunately, that ideology has permeated every sector of our life. And we'll get to it in a little bit with Eric, is how it's infected the corporate suites. But we also have podcasts there, where we've vetted about 155 podcasters. You're one that's been with us a long time.
Oh,
we've always loved your work. And in particular, I was telling Eric before we got on the call that I had a chance to see you speak at the Moms for America 20-year gala in Dallas. And you were the MC for the Friday night, and how you wove together biblical history with U.S. women's suffrage history into what is going on today in America, and contrasted to those eras. The way you brought it together was, one, so brilliant, and two, it was very intellectually satisfying to say that is a great way to look at it. And I pray that message gets out to everybody to help them stop and learn about, oh my gosh, this is our history. And we have to quit judging people from 500 years ago with our screwed up false virtues today. you know, morals and those principles stand. And so that's the thing about freedomsquare.com is we're about the principles. We don't, you know, Republicans and Democrats will always, always disappoint. And the one thing, and I agree with Judge Clarence Thomas on, is that principles will never let you down. And so we hope to promote those, you know, continue to promote those principles. We have a business directory there for where companies can list their businesses that are pro-American. We also have a resource center where, gosh, you can get a PhD in American history just in our resource center. So that's what we've been doing. And then Eric and I and 23 others joined here in over the last 3 months to put forth what we believe is going to be our most important mission and platform that we're moving forward with. So, and we'll get to that after Eric, but thank you again, Rose, for having us.
Oh, you're such a sweetheart. I'm so glad to have you. And Eric, there's a couple of things that Tom mentioned here that I wanted to weigh in on, especially with you, because you have a finance and banking background. You know, when I think about, Tom mentioned that our soul desires freedom. And I think about our founding fathers. And one of the things that clearly they believed was coming from a Europe where they were told, according to their bloodline, what kind of success they could have. They were told how to worship. They were told which church to worship in. And so there were all these restrictions on freedom. And I think what I believe the founding fathers understood was that greatness abides in all of us. And the thing that was necessary to unleash that greatness was freedom. And that freedom then establishes financial security, financial freedom, and every kind that you can possibly imagine. But because you are in the finance and banking world, let's just address that perspective. They did have a pretty good handle, didn't they, Eric? So, Eric, let's talk about that, shall we? About how the finance and the banking plays in, you know, to our freedoms and how it is that we all desire that freedom. That is something that is just innate in all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something historically, I think we've taken for granted that Americans could operate and go about their lives as they see fit, so long as they're not infringing on rights of others. And unfortunately, we are seeing the cancel culture start to enter the financial system. It's really one of the driving forces as to why we founded Old Glory Bank just a couple of years ago, and we set it up really with based on three guiding principles. The first, and this is similar to some of the comments that Tom made earlier, but first, we wanted a bank and felt the country needed a bank that would promote the greatness of America. I mean, at Old Glory Bank, we love our flag, we support our military and first responders, we value family, faith, and freedom, and really feel a need to call attention to not be defensive about traditional American values that have helped make this country be so great and prosperous and good for the rest of the world. Second is that we are unwavering supporters of financial liberty, and we commit that no customer will have, you know, their accounts canceled, you know, based on their speech or the industry they operate in, that we really spell the cancel culture and feel it has no role in the financial system and no place in the financial system. And then thirdly, and this is getting to be a extremely important principle that's lacking in banking lately, is that we commit to our customers not to voluntarily share their personal transaction data with federal agencies or law enforcement, but we would only do so if legally compelled. And, you know, look, we're a legally operating business. We always say that our mission statement is the Constitution, so we certainly would respond appropriately to a lawfully generated subpoena. But what was so much written about recently and revealed by Jim Jordan and some of the recent House committee hearings was just an egregious voluntary sharing of data by banks. That's, you know, kind of presupposing that people who just happened to be in D.C. the first week of January in 2021, or who just happened to visit maybe outdoors-oriented stores, that somehow was putting them on kind of a watch list for just going about their lawful behavior. But the concept of Old Glory Bank early on attracted some very kind of pro-America voices who joined me as co-founders. Secretary Ben Carson and Larry Elder.
Wow.
Both are co-founders of Old Glory Bank and serve on our board. Country singer and producer John Rich is a co-founder and just a strong proponent of American values and a big supporter of what we're doing, as well as Bill Shine, who's our chairman, executive chairman, who served as deputy chief of staff in the Trump administration and also had been co-president at Fox News. And then finally, Mary Fallon Christensen, the two-term governor of Oklahoma. Since we are an Oklahoma bank, she serves on our board as well. And so what we did is we saw the need for these principles to be existing in banking. Our whole mission was to take politics out of banking after seeing so much of the cancel culture enter it. And so we the current management team identified a bank in Oklahoma, a great, rich 120-year history, what formerly was the First State Bank of Elmore City.
Yeah.
We renamed it, repositioned it, and layered on top of it a very robust digital online branch, so that now, just in the past 10 months or so of introducing the online banking, have opened up tens and tens of thousands of new customer relationships, businesses, and consumers in every state of the union. So we're really excited to deliver that financial liberty to Americans clear across the country.
And Eric, for all of the reasons that you listed and then some, you know, when we talk about the sharing of data and the investing in corporations and woke, making woke investments with our money, money that we would never, ever put in ourselves, all of these things, when I think about that, you were in banking and finance for a long time. Did you ever think that we would see the day where these were, that we had so many concerns about our banking system?
The answer is no. It really is shocking, and I wish it were not needed, but there really is a need for banks to take that ideology out of the business decision making.
Yeah.
And you know, the cancel culture is really affecting, you know, individuals, organizations, as well as entire industries in the financial sector. You know, individuals, you know, prominent ones like Dinesh D'Souza or Mike Lindell, Dr. Joseph Mercola, Don Trump Jr. have all reported accounts of theirs being terminated, being asked to move to other financial institutions because of perhaps being politically outspoken or, you know, criticizing, being critical of certain, you know, COVID positions, let's say. But it's also in entire industries. You know, when you think about it, when the large banks across the country, you know, testify and state and publicly state that their intention is to dramatically reduce the financing of, let's say, if the fossil fuel industry. Well, if you're, you know, an oil rig operator in the Midwest, in Kansas or Oklahoma or Texas, or someone in your household's livelihood is associated with that industry, you know, do you really want to be banking with an organization that is, you know, explicitly stating it intends to starve that industry? You know, same could be said for religious institutions. Just last year, 19 state attorneys general sent a letter to Chase Bank warning them about religious discrimination and disenfranchising customers because of widely reported practices of asking religious organizations to either move their accounts or stay only if they shared their donor list, and just, you know, egregious, you know, violation of privacy there. So it really is needed. I think people are, you know, recognizing that cancel culture is just a unfair, un-American practice, and to us, it's people ought to have, so long as they're lawfully operating. And of course, that's a big requirement. That's really our first and only rule. So long as you're lawfully operating as an individual or a business, you are welcome to bank at our bank. And it's our view that, you know, institutions should not be excluding your participation in really in commerce and financial system. That's what the legal system is for.
And Eric, we don't have to be in Oklahoma to do business with Old Glory Bank.
That's absolutely correct. OldGloryBank.com is a great place to go and learn about us, download the app. We have customers, commercial and consumer, every state of the union, clear across the country. just extremely robust online and digital tools. And I say that, you know, coming out of having always been in the financial sector, worked with large banks, worked at large banks, and there is no sacrifice at all in terms of, you know, functionality of app or customer service. We have extremely good onshore live customer service. We have extremely robust tools that allow you to see all your accounts and even view accounts, external credit cards, let's say, that might be another with another institution. So really zero reasons. And even we fixed the addressed the one legitimate pushback someone might have for going to online banking is that we have solved what one might do with cash. Let's say a customer makes some money on the weekends doing projects, or is a server and makes tip money in cash. We have lined up with 88,000 retail locations across the country where they can walk in, show their mobile app, and cash be immediately credited to their account.
That's so brilliant.
It really is a full service offering.
Good work. Good job. We're talking to Eric Ohlhausen, and he is the co-founder of Old Glory Bank. That's exciting to me. Tom, let me just say, I love that people like Eric and others that got involved with this and yourself, I love that they figured out a way around what we didn't like. Instead of us just complaining, we actually, in this case, have done something about what we didn't like about the banking system and what's been going on, because it is abhorrent to think that they were getting away with what they did in recent years.
You're right. And that's the beauty of entrepreneurship, and that divine of the spark you talked about with all of us having, is that they innovate and they look for better ways to serve people. That's not exactly the case that's happening in corporate America. I think we've all been to national chains or national, airlines, travel. When you try to get some customer service, it's almost impossible. It's like corporate America has given up on excellence, on merit, you know, on customer service. It's interesting. February 1st, the Pew Research Institute released its annual survey of American institutions, and every institution declined in favorability but one. And the one that rose and is at 86% favorability is small business.
Oh, yes.
So that is why we are doing what we're doing and joining forces. I am so proud and honored to have Old Glory Bank join us. My goal is to have all the liberal arts majors banking with the big banks, and we bring all the entrepreneurs and patriots over to Old Glory.
I love it.
Because that's where we belong.
And, you know, I've got to say something to both of you. When you hear what Tom just mentioned, Eric, about small businesses, and, you know, we've always been taught that, and I'm a child of two entrepreneurs. My father and my mother both own their own business. And there's a lot of difficulties that are associated with owning your own business. There's a lot of joy and a sense of accomplishment. But we have made it more and more difficult for the small business person. And I've got to say that what concerns me most about this is that that's the whole idea behind socialism. Socialism understands that our middle class is what holds this country together. It is the middle class that is the backbone of this country. And that middle class is made up by the self-employed, the small businessman, even people that worked in restaurants. And they are all part of what makes up what keeps our country going and keeps it healthy. And, you know, we saw during the COVID craziness that the first that we attacked was the small business guy, because if you had a Lowe's or a Target, heck, you could stay open. But don't be a small business person. They suffered so much, and many of them never recovered from what happened during COVID. But I find it ironic, that was the first to be attacked, were the small businesses, when we know that socialism thrives when we've destroyed that middle class.
Yeah, so true. I mean, and certainly they were the most vulnerable to, you know, any kind of work stoppage or customer stoppage. I mean, it really was such a significant challenge. I would suggest that online banking certainly helps in such a situation, and just in terms of efficiency and being able to, whether it's working from home or a remote office or whatever the case might be, But we really are, I think, filling a need, not just in the profile of America, of Old Glory Bank and being pro-America and supportive of these financial liberties, but even just bringing online, high-quality online banking tools to small businesses. Because, you know, so many of the higher-profile online examples that precede us are more focused on consumers. So I think it's the lower-hanging fruit, and we certainly welcome and thrive on our customer base of individuals. But small business really has not been kind of focused on by so many online solutions. And so we see that we really are filling a need by equally addressing both the needs of individuals and businesses. You know, business, not just kind of a reskinned app, a business experience needs to have more controls. You might have multiple individuals, you know, view only, approval capabilities, wire portals, you know, ACH and so forth. So a lot of those tools are typically only available maybe with a very large bank, or you have a local bank that isn't going to, this might be near you, but isn't going to have maybe the technologies just because of not having the scale. So we really are pleased to be committed to the small businessmen and women of the country.
And Tom, let's talk about what I talked about socialism and the entrepreneur being that backbone of our society. And once we've destroyed that, we've destroyed this country. And additionally, this ideology of socialism, it always ends up in tyranny. And that is precisely what we worked so hard to get away from. And when I think about freedomchamber.net, I see that what you're doing with that is an effort to really build up that community of entrepreneurs, of small businessmen and women, and to support them in every way we can, not just you through freedomchamber.net, but all of us. I mean, this should be a place that we go to immediately and tell us why. Let's talk about that, the resources there.
Well, thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, socialism and communism is such a downward pressure on liberty, on one's, you know, breath of their soul. It stifles it. And people, a lot of people just, they hear it talked about, but I was raised, my parents and grandparents escaped Lithuania from the Soviets in 1944 and waited 5 years in displaced persons camps to come to the U.S. But of course, they had to be sponsored. The adult males had to have work, and everybody had to pass a health exam. Now, of course, today, none of that is happening because the intention is not to better raise up America. It's let's tear it down. Why those principles were dropped, well, I think we all know. With freedomchamber.net, the U.S. Chamber in the last 10 years has come out on the side of the most anti-business, anti-American policies that one is left shaking their head. Like, how could they be pro-illegal immigrant workers when it drives down the wages, which is great for the corporations and their shareholders, but it's terrible for the workforce.
Yeah.
They were very happy with outsourcing manufacturing to China, to Mexico, to Indonesia, to Malaysia. They all seem, you know, good with that. And again, just losing sight. So Freedom Chamber is really bringing all of us together and putting our resources together. And I have to tell you, the scope and breadth of expertise, spirit, wisdom on our founding group, which there's 23 of us, is incredible. And what that does for a small business is provides access to connect with all of us. And we want to bring all the pro-American small businesses together because they're going to continue to come after us. We've had the federal government, there's a case in the Supreme Court now talking about the First Amendment, how the government reached out and told Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everybody to shut down the stories about the laptop, shut down any questions on COVID, et cetera. Eric referred to, give us your buying habits of your customers. We want to attract those that shop at sporting goods stores, buy ammunition, or even buy Bibles.
Right.
So we've got a federal government now that is reaching into the private sector and leveraging them to control the population. So we are currently in a sort of fascist Marxist makeover is happening, and it's got to stop. And the one way that it'll help, because there's so many small businesses that they feel helpless. God forbid somebody's overheard saying, "Yeah, there's only two genders," and the next thing you know, there's 100 people picketing outside their store, trying to shut them down. Well, you get in with a group of us, which there has to be a couple of million pro-American businesses together, and together we will stand, and together we will push back, and together we will return the prospect of the American dream to the people, and create opportunities and raise the boats of all of our members. That's our goal.
I love that. There's a quote on the page at freedomchamber.net by Thomas Jefferson, and he talks about if we can but prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of taking care of them, they must become happy. And, you know, it's interesting, too, guys, because I just read a story today. There's some polling that was done. Turns out that the U.S. hit a new low in world happiness. We are one of the least happy countries in the world. And I think that that's significant because some of the things that they discovered when they were polling and talking to people, it was a Gallup poll that had the data, but the young people were saying that they feel less supported by friends and family. Under 30, the people under 30 today also feel less confident in government and have increased perceptions of corruption. No kidding. And they also found that older people are now happier than the young people in North America, which I think is significant. I want to weigh in on that, Eric, and I'll have you weigh in as well, Tom.
Sure. I think it's certainly sad that there is a general malaise across the country. I think so much of that comes out of our education system and just the influences that are put upon our youth from a very early age, the kind of a self-loathing as a country, which is really unfortunate because this is such a wonderful country. We have such a rich history. Have just lifted up so many people with a robust economy, with historically strong liberties, doing great things around the world, coming to others' aid. It's expanding, looking for land and to conquest. It's just there are so many great things about America that I think it takes reminding, and I think we can get back there to where people do recognize the good of our country. And certainly no country, no nation, no set of people or individual is perfect. But I think it doesn't serve you well to constantly feel that there's, only bad has been around, and just really limits the reason to be excited about life and pursue things and better achieve, betterment for you and those around you if you feel that the deck stacked against you. That's just a hopeless mentality that I think it's up to many of us to steer back in the correct direction.
Yeah, and good points, Eric. And Tom, when you think about what happened during COVID and we saw so many restrictions, we saw the government overreaching, and we've heard today between the two of you other examples of government overreach. So these young people, so what's happened is, Tom, it feels like we've gotten away from the American dream or the idea that it is attainable. And it all comes back to liberty, doesn't it? Where we started out in this conversation. If we go back to liberty, the freedom to pursue happiness, the freedom of life, all of those things that these young people are not feeling. But is there any wonder that they're not feeling these things? Because you look at the climate, the political climate, especially because the government now has become so big, the very thing that we strove to get away from all those many years ago, we are finding ourselves under the same type of tyranny, if not worse in many ways.
Yeah, and it's getting there. And I'm likely going to be far less eloquent than Eric was. But I will tell you, when I'm in the company, as we were in Dallas with Moms for America, or as I was down at a Turning Point event where you're with thousands of young people who love their faith, their family, their country, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution. They're so respectful of elders, respectful of one another. We have two Americas. We have two worlds right now. And the happier lot, I would say unequivocally, is those on the right. And my own analysis of that is because I know in my life, I hold God, family, country, freedom, work far above politics. And I think those folks on the left, because of their insatiable appetite for permanent power, hold politics number one. I think that leads to their misery. When could you imagine graduating, you know, after paying $200,000 at a, you know, at a top school, and you're serving drinks at Starbucks,
oh, yeah.
And you're thinking you're the brightest person in the world, and yet you got to be miserable. But yet you take somebody from the right, they're probably pouring coffee and happy, and how's by you, darling, top you off, and good to see you today. And so that's where I draw the sort of the comparison between that and again the movements and the impacts across all sectors that keeps this downward pressure on the spirit is, I believe, now being manifest through a survey that says, gosh, we're unhappy. What's interesting is there's a big movement. Turning Point's fastest growing chapters are in high schools. The high school boys have moved conservative drastically, and a lot of young ladies have done and are beginning to do so as well, because sooner or later, you know, communism and socialism, while, you know, there's all these great you know, theories and all this, but frankly, it fits like a size 8 shoe on a size 12 foot. Yeah. It doesn't fit right. It hurts. And, you know, you got to learn to walk a certain way. And I got to tell you what, I know that Eric and I and our entire co-founder team and you, Rose, we're not submitting to that. We're standing up, we're speaking out.
Amen.
And we're pushing back. And again, come join us. We're the happier lot.
I think we are too. So yeah, if they polled just us, we would break a lot higher in that Gallup poll. Hey, Tom, I have to say thank you for always supporting moms and the family. You've been such a great advocate for us and a super supporter. And I appreciate you so much for that and all the things that you're doing right now. And Eric, it was so great to get to know you, because it's funny, because in Dallas, I went over to your table and picked up some literature. So I'm going to take another look at that. I love what you're doing with Old Glory Bank. It doesn't matter where we live, we can certainly bank with Old Glory. And I thank you for that. Thank you for finding a solution to the situation we found ourselves in here in this country with the banking system.
Well, thank you. Really appreciate your interest in what we're doing. And we would welcome having you as a customer, as well as all your listeners and viewers, and just would just really feel we've got a great offering for people that just is going about things the way I think most people wish they had with their current solution. So, no, thank you for having me today.
Absolutely. Tom, you're a doll. You know I love you.
Thank you, Rose. I love you, too, and all the work that you're doing in the support of moms. And I could say I'm a beneficiary of a great mom, and nothing happens without the moms.
Amen to that. Amen
so
to that.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for joining me today. I appreciate you both. We talked to Tom Sadeka and also Eric Ohosen. Check them out, oldglorybank.com. And also, you've got to check out, well, Freedom Square, of course, but also we have freedomchamber.com. Net. Very important that you check all of that out. Thanks, guys, so much. I appreciate you.
This is Ashley Klingensmith with Americans for Prosperity. Bidenomics has been a complete disaster, and everyone knows it. Runaway inflation, unaffordable gas and electricity, mounting deficits and debts. Politicians responsible for Bidenomics, like Senator Bob Casey, want to blame everyone but themselves. Casey voted for all of Joe Biden's $5.5 trillion in new spending that triggered inflation, but he wants you to believe grocery stores are the real problem. Well, we've had enough and we're fighting back. We are building a movement to reverse Bidenomics and its broken promises, and that movement is called Prosperity is Possible. Prosperity is Possible advocates policies that break down the government barriers that are holding people back, making energy affordable again, and ensuring workers have the flexibility to earn a living on their terms. Join the movement for a stronger economy. Visit prosperityispossible.com, prosperityispossible.com.